Like, remember rolling, like I
Yeah.
remember the white switch of my driving instructor. Don't roll the car after you got your license. I wonder why. I wonder why he has to give a warning to new driver.
Has a history.
That's why.
The more specific a warning is, the more harrowing that strategy might have been. Keep your head. Mind the gap.
That's the reason why MRTs and the LRTs MRT has those. Please mind the gap. Someone probably fallen there before. Ay-yay.
The more specific it goes, it's just like, oh no, the imagination goes wild.
That's how you know it's actually good story, but environmental storytelling. That is good environmental storytelling.
Please do not press go. Do not go. Do not pass go. Do not collect 2000. That's also environmental storytelling, I guess.
Yeah, that's environmental storytelling as well.
Why? The fallacy of capitalism.
Alright.
Is that how the dice roll?
Yes, that's how the dice roll.
I guess who? Oh no, hold on. We should. Yeah, I get the beat now. I get the beat. Welcome, to Dialogue Log, the Gamer Matters podcast.
Welcome.
I forgot. 128. 128. Recorded on February 10th, 2023, which, according to the usual Twitter, you know, is it a Twitter bot? I haven't checked, but hopefully it's not a Twitter bot that may or may not be at risk. The year in progress say is like 11% done of this year. Time flies. 11% done. Yeah. And we are in February. Games are dripping in rather nicely. Not like last year. Last year was bursting.
I imagine it's like that one picture of a guy and having something at the buffet and people giving him plates. Yeah, it's like, this year is just like two waiters like, are you done, sir? Here's some more, instead of the bursting.
Nicely paced. So yeah, I guess that's the cue to introduce the panel. We have Daniel over there.
Hello.
The other side is Anan.
What's up?
And I am Amirul Macronos Ashraf, or Mac. And we are going to talk about video games this time. Yes, looking at the docket, it is video games time.
Video games.
Yep. We are playing some video games. Some we can talk about. Some you will hear on the next episode.
Yes.
Not saying anything more than that. You'll know when you know, when you should know. So, did we roll the dice who goes first? Oh man, another dice roll.
Okay. I shall now give you a choice. Do you want to drive into the choices or do you want to zoom past the choice?
My god. How about we start strong with the thing that's been hogging on twitter.com for whatever reason, kan?
Yeah.
The game that is it terrible? Some people say it's terrible. But then again, I said Days Gone is not terrible, so hey-ho.
I think that's the term is polarizing. Ah, that's the better word to say. It's polarizing.
Divisive video game. From none other by Square Enix. Square Enix and Luminous Productions. Let's talk about Forspoken. What do you guys know about Forspoken?
Besides it is a game that is exclusive only to PlayStation. It is made by Luminous Studios, or is that the engine?
Production, Luminous Productions.
Almost correct. Yeah.
But it is the same. The name, the engine name is that Luminous Engine. So you're not far off.
And the only reason why it's polarizing from my very limited viewpoint of, you know, Twitter and you know, forums, it is polarizing because the game writing is a bit bad. Is what it?
Anand, do you have anything to add?
No.
Because this is gonna be a hopefully short rant. Okay, here's the thing. After playing Forspoken, I've seen the ending. I've seen it all. Maybe not all. I didn't 100% it. I don't bother to 100% it. Not because, just because I want to avoid platinum, but also, I don't think it's worth my time. I mean, it's worth like seeing to the end. I'll get back it later. So here's the thing about Forspoken. People make fun of the writing, but I think the writing is not good for not the reasons people expected. People are punching the bag on. You've seen the Twitter clips and the clips of Frey, the protagonist Frey, saying like, "Oh my god," quipping in a very very non-serious matter during a life-threatening situation.
Yep.
So you'll see one time where I think the most famous quip is you'll meet one of the big aunties that you face, and she speaks in rhyme, and then Frey just, are you gonna speak in full in rhymes, or you just have to kill me right here now? Well, she is in cuffs, she's like being imprisoned, and so she literally just kill me now already. People are making fun of that. That is the extent of the cringe. The other is like the banter between Frey and Cuff, like Frey making fun of Cuff talking hoity-toity like in British English, and then Cuff responds back with trying to imitate Frey's American English. That's fine. That's just your little sprinkles of cringe here and there. But that's the most of it. That serious, that's the most of it. After the beginning hours, you don't see any cringe at all. So that in that particular thing, in that particular aspect, Forspoken is fine. I don't think it's that terrible in terms of the performance of the characters. Like Frey is being portrayed by a Hollywood actor again. Yep. I forgot the name. Ella Belinska something. I know she's the new one of the new Charlie's Angels.
Oh yeah. She's one of the new Charlie's Angels. Yep.
Yeah, she's fine. I mean, she swears a lot. That's another thing altogether. But as far as performance goes, I think she did what she can with the material that is being offered here. The problem is the material. It's less about the cringe quiz. It's more about the writing doesn't make a good doesn't make the audience, at least me as the audience, make me like properly understand the motives of Frey doing weird actions. I mean, you can have a flawed protagonist. You can have a reluctant hero that, hey, come save the world. No, I don't want to get in the robot. It's that kind of situation. Yeah. But even though they tried to portray as they showed Frey's journey before she got isekai. This is an isekai story. So you see like, oh, this is Frey. She's a regular New Yorker. Oh, sorry. It starts out with a scene where she goes to court.
That's a weird way to start a game.
We're going to court. She's in cuffs. Get it? Cuffs. She's in cuffs. It's a recurring motive. She's being captured and she's in cuffs. It's a recurring thing. I don't know why. But for some reason, there's a motive that they keep doing that. But then after that, you'll just see, oh, she grew up in New York. She's a regular outside of the crimes, her rap sheet. Other than that, she's a totally fine, normal 21-year-old who loves cats a lot. The cats look good in Forspoken. The best thing. I want, maybe not the best thing, but one of the best things in Forspoken is the cats. The cats look cute, man.
Is this the, so this counts as the first next gen cat then?
How next gen is 3? The actual cat game from last year.
The first looks nice. Yeah, the first looks nice on PS5 from what I've seen gameplay. But truly, first truly next gen. Ah, yeah, the first truly next gen because there's no PS4 version of Forspoken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next gen cat.
The next gen cat. Actual next gen cat.
Do they have ray tracing?
The ray tracing game first?
Yes, there is ray tracing option. What's the point I got before we ramble into cats? Story again.
Okay.
She's a regular New Yorker and then suddenly she got isekai. But before that, you see her like down in the dumps. She's like being in a pickle, let's say. She is like she's left nothing to her name. So she's very much she's like an orphan, kind of hopeless, sort of. I don't know if a abandoned apartment that looks rinky-dinky counts as a home, but maybe so. But, you know, she's basically a street urchin lah. And of course, have a running crime. So, and then she lost everything and then suddenly got isekai into a new world where she got magic power. Yeah, let me get this straight. I'm into a magical world. Magic powers!
Oh my god! God damn. That trailer did not have its cause at all.
That trailer out of context is terrible to sell, but when you consider that she was like at the lowest of lows, there's a scene where she is like leaning on an edge before isekai. She didn't jump, but she jumped into another rabbit hole. Thank goodness. It I know got serious. So from that perspective, suddenly got transferred into a magical world and she got all excited because yo, magic power, shit, let's go. That's fine. But then suddenly she becomes the reluctant hero. No. People just using me lah, apa lah. There's like in the middle part of the story, it just doesn't feel like Free is like, I don't get why Frey wants to go back to New York so much. Despite her being here, she is like regarded as a savior. She has magical powers. She seems more happier. She has people like that care for her. And cops are not after her. And gangsters. She also have problems with those guys. And then she said, oh, I want to go back home. I want to go back. What? Dude. There's an apocalypse that needs saving. There are people dying here in this fantasy magical land. Do you want not to save him? No. I want to go back to New York. And then what? The funny, that's the thing. The funny bit is, I'm dancing around spoilers. You get to see something that, okay, so what did happen if somehow Free go back to New York? Nothing. So, that's the problem. Free as a character is flawed too much, and flawed is okay. It's a matter of her motivations does not like being made clear or make sense to the audience. So halfway there, I'm just like, what the hell are you doing? Come on, let's go to the next tower and get the auntie and get the power and then we move on. But no, she's in her get in the robot arc. Whatever.
Still in the get in the robot arc.
So yeah, that's the big problem because they are saving everything for do you know? There's a plot twist at the end. Oh, look at that. And now the story is actually decent. Oh, god damn it. Doesn't work that way.
It works for Days Gone, but it doesn't work for... I don't feel it works for Forspoken.
The problem for the thing about plot twists is that plot twists works work when they recontextualize everything you have seen before, but also everything you've seen before makes sense without the actual revelation. That's the problem with Forspoken. The all the story that you've seen before, it feels like there's like a leap, multiple leaps of logic that we don't understand why they some people are behaving like that and whatever. And then suddenly all has been revealed, like, ooh, look at this. We've thought of everything, you know. No. By leaving all that context out, it feels like the story is for the worse, which the plot twist is not worth it. I'd rather not have a plot twist and have a normal story that's good overall. True. But that's the thing. Forspoken is worth seeing it to the end, because by the end of the game, it feels like, ah, okay, now I get it. Okay, the magical girl in the magical world gets to do magic things. Okay. We good? Very good? And this, they kind of like leave it up to the door open for more games. If they, hopefully they go, they do get a chance to do this again, because, oh man, I wish they could have done better lah, in a lot of other ways. Combat's fine. It's not that difficult. It's just like, mash the R2 button a lot. Sometimes if you play on PS5 with a DualSense controller, the R2 button is a bit stiff, so your finger might hurt a bit. But other than that, it's just mindless ta 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 ta, ta press. The effects look cool. All the particle effects when they went out the wazoo is good looking. Like, there are earth shatters, there are lava, molten lava, flames, and then you have your water drips, floating water, and then you have your electric light. So all good stuff. Graphical wise, fine, no problem. The traversal system is fantastic. Since it's an open world game, and it's designed like a Ubisoft open world game, so here's a tower, here's a lot of point of interest, go have fun. It is a lot of terrain to cover, so instead of like what they offer as traversal is free moving at super fast speed. Someone we know mentioned that Forspoken kind of feels like a Sonic Frontier. It doesn't click at me at first when they mentioned that. But now I figure, when I think about it a little bit more, it makes sense. Free runs super fast, wicked fast. And now every time I look at Forspoken, I cannot unsee. I can hear the everyone super Sonic Racing song playing. I mean, if you put the Sonic Frontier soundtrack, which are full of bangers, I should mention, and then you lay it over Forspoken, I think Forspoken is a much fun game. More fun game. A funner game. Which leads me to the other point. The soundtrack is trash. I don't like the soundtrack at all.
Yeah, it's kind of generic fantasy video style, kan?
It goes like ting ting tung tung ting tung 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 ting tung tung tung. You know, your generic fantasy, generic western fantasy. Just like, oh, come on. Can we do something? And even the orchestra, when the battle music is like actually going on, the orchestra is just playing for me lah. I just feel it's just like normal noises. I cannot even remember it. The only one good song is because is the main theme, because it's kind of like, you know, you have your anthemic hymn, and then you have trap beats, which works. Sort of, it is interesting because you have the hip hop, and then you have the nice ha. I can remember that, unlike the rest of the soundtrack. Because, oh man, everything is just like, it's just whoosh to me. And that's the worst thing about Forspoken. If you look at the names attached to the game's writing and the soundtrack, those are names that have done better output in other games, in other media. But here it just doesn't work. When your biggest selling point is just meh, it's hard to justify the game. But I'm not saying the game's terrible. Again, the Forspoken, the parkour. The parkour is just... I wish more games has that kind of parkour. Just press the button. It's not just press the button and go fast also. It's actually skill-based. Like, the longer you press the stamina button, your parkour button, it drains the stamina. One of the ways to get back stamina is to do a shimmy, as it's called. Which is basically just a leap forward lah. But if you time your leap forward correctly, like chain it like one or two times, and the stamina will refill. So you can basically just run fast, and then jump a bit to refill back stamina, and then run fast again. And you basically just moving supersonic speed. I think I put the Sonic reference in my review of Forspoken somewhere. If you read it, you know lah. It's very clear. It's one song. Rolling around at the speed of sound. Yeah, I did see something like that. And that shimmy can be chained infinite times as long as you get the timing right. Infinite bunny hops, baby! Infinite! If you can chain it right, lah. Yeah, everything about moving around the open world is fine. The open world is boring. Like, literally boring. It's just plain. And I do mean it literally, plain, like planes over planes over planes. Well, this district is called Vistoria. What do you have? Planes. How about this down south? I forgot the name. Avotop, whatever again. Also planes. Oh, Prenos, the land on the east side. Planes, but desert, canyons. Okay lah. Variety a bit. Junoon up north, the forests are plains also, but with more trees. I don't know that Etia as a setting is doesn't feel captivating.
Imaginative, not imaginative enough.
Yeah, that as well, because it feels like a mishmash of a lot of things that doesn't coalesce into one cool. Unifying team. Like, there are like fantastic buildings. Like, there's a town, the hub town called Sipal. It's kind of like a Roman town because everything is like marbles. Like, the more fantastic stuff at the upper levels are all like marble buildings, columns, and then like weird geometrical shapes that goes up high. Okay, you get like a little bit of the fantastical bits here and there. But then you go down and then it's just like normal medieval English town, medieval English commoner place. So normal houses, normal clothing, but the nobles, garish clothing, garish headwear. And then a lot of the stuff on the open world feels like copy-paste assets. You visit a guild tower. You visit the same guild tower everywhere in the world. It's literally the same asset. I do not think there's any changes other than, we put extra enemies in this one tower. So yeah, the world is not inspiring enough. They tried the lore build, the world building bit, like, they made a good reason why this part of the world is very much just plains, because, the auntie that rules there, the Tanta, that's why I call him the auntie. The auntie rules there is as the mastery of making illusions, so... Why have buildings? Okay. They tried. I don't want to diss effort because they tried, but it just doesn't work. But yeah, because the fundamental game down there, like the gameplay bits, I think there's something that can be done that. Something that can be salvaged out of all of this is the exterior bits, the things that people see as their first impression that didn't got Forspoken out of the window correctly. Because again, this game is supposed to like for me, what I'm seeing is trying to cater to a Western audience. Can. Like, okay, Final Fantasy leans into their Japanese influences. So now we have another open world game. What are you gonna do? Oh yeah, we sell off our Western counterparts. You guys, can you do a game that can take on the Western audience? The Western audience did not reciprocate that feeling, and so are the Square Enix fans. The fact that I see Square Enix fan Stan's account poking fun at Forspoken means
that's a bad sign.
It says something.
That even their diehard fans does not like this game. So clearly they are targeting no one with Forspoken, which is a shame. If they went full anime, maybe it could have been something. And like, it's like, maybe that's what I hope, that despite Forspoken may not be an instant success, hopefully the other big game Square Enix has will cover back. I mean, they have a lot of games still, just like last year, coming out this year again. I still hope that Luminous Productions gets another shot. But this time, I hope more in-house people are working on this game, rather than like, oh, let's get outside help, let's got like big star names to help out these aspects on the development. Let the folks at Luminous Productions figure this game out, because I think that fundamentally the game's fun, but everything around that game to make it memorable is just like, doesn't work, man. Like, play it. If you like what you see, play it. Don't let the cringe stop you. But if you are on the fence, I would suggest wait for sale. It's that kind of game.
Yep.
Yeah, that's Forspoken. Unless you want to figure out why they call the aunties like that. There's a literal Tanta called Tanta Cinta, spelled Cinta. She's the Tanta of love. I wonder where they lift that up. They just live mishmash so many other cultures. And
what's the, how do I say this, the most prominent, let's say, culture in that
they take it from? By the way they talk, I'll say medieval English, but then technology-wise, they are more like ancient times.
Mm-hmm.
So they are still like herding, there's animal husbandry. Yeah, there are chickens and sheep as alongside cats in this fantasy world of Athia. Sounds like a familiar world, huh? They are magic lah. That's the most different thing, is they have magic. But other than that, they fight. The armies fight with your spears and shields. So a bit of everywhere. But itulah, it doesn't make a fantasy interesting world. Maybe I don't know if there are Forspoken super fans, but hopefully someone figure out the not the font, what do you say, they use a different writing system, but I think it can just be swapped letter for letter, like it's supposed to be English but they have different cursive, something like that. They made a point to mention that Action has a different writing system, but I can learn to read it also. Action speak English. Okay, you make mention like that, those kind of like questions from a fish out of water situation, I don't mind it. Okay lah, a bit cringe lah, like, oh, Frey speaking like way too many American slang lah. Do you have a place to crash? Sorry?
Crash?
I'm asleep.
What?
I'm asleep. Ah, yes. So you have banters like that lah, like Frey speaking. They speak the same language, but they don't share the same culture. So, like that. Right? Okay. That's fine. That's fun cringe. It's okay.
The American way.
American way.
I mean, it's an isekai story. Of course, you have those kind of things. It should have.
Isekai is cringe anyway.
It's a matter of, do you enjoy the journey of the person getting isekai and whatever adventure they went through.
Western isekai, yeah, let's go.
Is that a good? Oh, yeah. No, I was about to say, is there a good Western Isekai? I forgot. Evil Dead is a technique. Is evil. Evil. It's a Western Isekai.
Oh yeah.
He got teleported into the medieval times. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was. You know what? We've unraveled a thread here. Forspoken and Evil Dead is not far off.
Yeah. With, a lot more New Yorker get stuck into the Middle Ages.
I see.
There's something wrong with their subway.
Yeah, there's something wrong with the subway. No, Ash fell asleep somewhere and then traveled back in time. I think that was the plot. Oh, he slept in his car. Yeah, he slept in his car and his car somehow traveled back in time. Yeah, that was the plot of Evil Dead 2.
Meanwhile, Frey went into the Isekai portal near the Holland Tunnel. Mm-hmm. No, her name is Frey Holland. She's an orphan, so and they found her somewhere in the Holland Tunnel. Hence, Frey Holland. Ha ha, dude.
It kind of feels like the Luminous guys watch Evil Dead 2 up to a point and then they forgot to finish it. Kind of feels like that.
Get the proper Luminous guys to be on the writing team this time around. Don't just get subcontractors or whatever. Like
subcontractor who watch half an hour of Evil Dead 2. Okay, we can do this.
That the most disappointing thing that the soundtrack is a downgrade. Final Fantasy 15 had one of the best soundtracks out there. Yeah, the game's flawed as heck, man. But that soundtrack is like marvelous, and we get like whimsy American Western generic whatever lah. Yeah. So yeah, that's Forspoken.
That's Forspoken.
Yeah. But the good thing is all the things that I take umbrage, I have made myself clear that I did not like about Forspoken, yeah, the world building, the soundtrack, and the writing, I guess. All of them are alleviated, not a problem with the one game that I have been playing that you will find out later, in the next episode.
Yes, agree.
And on that note, we can switch the ball.
and start up the engine.
We're gonna go out of the Holland Tunnel and Isekai somewhere else. No, Isekai back to the real world. Like bye, Etia. Bye. Whoosh, as they say. Whoosh.
Oh my god.
There's a cringe part that's about communicating things, huh? What? The Torana? What? Whoosh. Oh, yeah, whoosh. Yeah. Fun cringe, don't worry. Don't worry about the cringe. That's fun. It's the fun bit. Yeah. What's next?
Oh yeah, so I don't have put anything up, so it's up for me, I guess, for the second round. I've been actually quite busy the start of February because I'm trying to do the most common practice of every human in the world right now, which is driving, a car, not an actual car, with four wheels, four doors, two bonnets, front bumper, rear bumper, and a gas tank.
Wait, you're invalidating the... I forgot.
No. The three-wheeler, yeah.
What is it?
I'm just looking at my driving instruction book.
Okay, four wheels.
They had to specify. You have to check every... So I've been learning how to drive. So all of my knowledge of driving right now is just based on theory, as you would. And since I am a video game reviewer, I try to, correlate this with, I don't know, my job of, driving, but not sim racing. Oh, hell no.
We have a sim racer who just started to get his license.
Yes. irony again.
You reminds me of Daniel Kvyat. He got his racing license first, then he got his real life license. Street license.
Yeah. The problem I had, because I did want to take in 2019 and I I don't remember if I passed. I didn't pass. I think I didn't pass the license yet because I was registered. And then something happened in the early 2020. I wonder what.
Mm-hmm.
That had me to delay 2 years. 3 years, actually, since now 2023. And I've been learning to drive. And do you know what one game that is actually quite accurate to this very thick book, this very big pamphlet? I don't know if you can hear it, but I'm trying to slam it here. Listen to this. No, you can't hear it. Yeah, thank you. No. Noise. Thank you, noise. It's very thick. And it's all about rules, you know, driving regulations. You cannot, like, here's an example. Technically, in Malaysia, technically, you cannot drive a car that has yellow light. Even though if you drive, which for those local again, yellow lights means that is an old car. Technically, that's illegal.
Wait, sorry? Yellow light?
Yellow lights. Yeah, sekarang every car has to use the xenon lights, the white lights.
Okay.
The LED lights. Yeah, according to the JPGA rule set of 2021, there is the new rules that if your car has a yellow light, technically that's illegal, but it's on the discretion of the officer that if you want to reprimand you or not.
What? Okay, if they say, okay, cars starting from 2010 need to be manufactured with white light. That one okay lah.
No. It is a demerit. Yeah, because they have a new demerit rule. So that's like, I think 2 points.
They want everyone to change the front headlights. Stupid.
Nah, it is this discussion of the officer. Yeah, sometimes.
You know what? A lot of officers don't even care.
That's why, exactly.
And you see the issues we have here in Malaysia. Everything.
Saying this already, like, unravel like 5 different issues.
There's a lot.
We already have like a conflict.
Yeah.
We've
untangled something here. Oh yeah, for those who do not know, JPG is basically the, for you Americans the out there, the DMV. Yeah, the DMV, yes.
Yeah, that's our DMV, yes.
I don't know if in the UK they call it something similar.
MOT, yeah, Minister, yeah, the MOT.
Oh, literally the Minister of Transport.
Yeah. Also, for vehicle roadworthiness, they also call MOT. They say, oh, you have to
Your
vehicle. So you have to go basically to our
Puscom. Yeah, I think it's Puscom.
Yeah. Our version is like, the Puscom.
They say, okay, just go MOT.
Yeah. Get it road legal and get everything checked. Make it road legal. They check everything.
The funny thing is,
you can get like MOT for a week, a month.
Yeah.
Very old cars.
yeah, you guys got. Yeah, because according to rules, that's why I started with that bit lah. Because according to the JPJ rules or the Puspacom rules, your car has to have. Yeah, 4 doors, 2 4-wheels, bumper, front bumper, bonnet, and boot, all intact without any damages, substantial damages as in like that. If there's a bit of a dent, like a small crease, fine. But if there's a big dent, that's fine. Or your car is not gonna be like fully, it's got fully insured. They cannot be insured.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like very specific. You know what this reminds me of? Euro Truck Simulator.
Because that's a long setup.
Yeah, that's why. Because according to, I think, yeah, they set up the rule set for the game. Essentially, like, you're driving an actual car. Well, a truck, so to say, but still. So, you know, you have your thingies, like, because the more I read into this book, the more I understand the root laws of the game as well. Like if you, let's say your car is 30,000 kilos heavier, you know those, if you, I don't know if you guys haven't driven into the North-South Highway, there's one point before coming up into the Monora Tunnel, there is a JPG stop point. And if your car or vehicle is lebih 3,000, above 3,000 kilos, you have to go into the side road, and then they will measure your car so that it is drivable onto the tunnel. Which actually, when I was reading that, I was like, damn, this is like the game. Wow.
Speaking of measuring, you should have checked the American Truck Simulator because they have more stringent rules about weight limits when it comes to hauling vehicles. Yeah. There's a weighing station around the highways over there in America, which is interesting as well.
It is now in ETS 2, I think. Yeah, the weighing station as well. It was part of one of the updates that they integrate. Yeah, they integrate.
Oh, they brought back
the rules. Yeah,
they brought back from America that one. Okay.
I guess can. Okay, Mac, you have gotten your license in what year? Can I ask?
I forgot. It has been a while. Let's say 5.
5 years? Eh? Not that bad. Yeah, not that bad.
Yeah, mine was 2013. So yeah, 10 years, almost 10.
Wow.
My license, yeah, 2013. I remember.
Yeah. So they've changed. Because since you guys are before the overhaul, but in 2018, like a lot of things have changed. So
that's quite recent.
Yeah, it's quite recent. I think like one of the new things they added, I don't know, like for you guys, you have to climb up a hill and then you have to pull the handbrake, balance the clutch so that you pray you don't fall off and feel it again.
Yeah.
They've added one more step for this one. It's now that there is a I want to say it's like a 40-inch incline. It's like quite small. And you have to, basically, you have to balance your clutch. This is like a precursor to the hill, basically. So you have to balance your clutch. You go up 2 tires in front, which I'm climb up this very, very small ramp. Stop. Put it into lower gear. So I guess gear 1, gear 2. Put the clutch. Keep the car balanced as they go up the hill, like this very small hill. Stop. I think basically close the engine. Start the engine, then go down.
That's interesting.
That's the new thing. That's the newest one.
Actually more practical.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yep, exactly.
Instead of stop and then restart your car and everything. Yeah. That looks more practical.
Yeah, because I guess a lot of issues people trying to, climb other things.
People panicking when they car.
Yes, now it makes sense. Now it makes sense. Yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah, now it makes sense. It was people panicking. So this one is teaching you, calm down. If you come at the hill again, slowly, just vibe. Yeah. Don't do anything brash.
Just modulate the clutch and stuff. Mm. Yeah, slowly.
As someone who has driven a car that somehow suddenly will when at low revs it will just stop. The engine will just stop. Yeah, it just dies. Yeah. Engine stop. It's always something like relax, keep it calm, put the hazards, try and get it on. Don't rush it. The more you rush, turning on, it just gets worse. Relax. And then get it back in and then just drive normally. The more you panic, the worse it gets. Not just for you, but for everyone.
Yeah.
Just relax.
Yeah, it is like driving is it's basically driving in a nutshell is driving a car as boring as possible so that you can get your destination safer.
Be the NPC.
Be the NPC while you drive. Yeah,
literally
exactly.
Be the NPC traffic. You don't do no heroics in Sub 4.
Be predictable. Don't
be predictable. Yes, that's
good. Predictable first. Kindness later.
Yeah, especially sometimes the Uber, the Grab riders, the Foodpanda riders, and they'll just go through the cut the thread, get into in between the cars, can just move normally and not like when you see, oh, panic, ooh, sideways, sue somewhere. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, don't do that.
Yeah, that's one of the. Yeah. Because in Malaysia, I don't know if it's different in other worlds, but for us in Malaysia, we have to take a 6-hour theory class. So this 6-hour theory class really in, I want to say it's quite in depth. As it's not, because the theory exam is basically what you know about, you know, the rules. So, you know, what does this triangle looking signboard does? Or what is the rule set for if you're trying to drive at night? But for this theory class, it's more of, oh yeah, so if you're in like this situation, you have to keep calm. That's basically how we do it. I don't know if it's different for like, let's say, Singapore or maybe Indonesia, but we have to ask our friends for that. But yeah, that's how we do it.
Oh man, the tests are the test questions are, oh boy.
Yeah.
It makes no, it's something that if you just read the books, it's so hard to get into your mind. It's something that, oh, once you actually be driving, it all makes sense. Like, who gets priority in a T-junction?
Oh, yeah, I remember one question. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Coming to your lane.
Yeah, okay, no, I have a question. Okay, since we're here, I have one question. Okay, you are at the T-junction. A driver without a license is coming right at you and crashes into your car. Okay, who is at fault? In terms of JPJ terms, who is at fault?
The one crashing onto you.
You didn't make a, I mean, you didn't do anything. It's not your fault. Unless JPJ says otherwise.
The actual answer is actually no one is at fault, because technically that driver doesn't have a license.
They say isn't it?
That's
so that, claim insurance.
Yeah. So there's basically saying, oh yeah, insurance, you're fucked.
God damn. That's even worse.
Yeah, technically no one's at fault because he doesn't have a license, so he doesn't know what he's doing. While you were just an innocent passenger, just waiting, yeah, like doing your driving as normal, like driving, but just waiting at a junction. You, so no one's at fault.
You can't fault people when they don't know. But I see that. Yeah, makes sense. But they are at fault for another thing.
Driving without a license. Yeah, that's all. I think they'll get a fine for that only, but not the crash. Oh my god. Yeah, I think like most of the JPJ instructors, I think, are also work at, I think once work at insurance as well. It's part of their punya, like, study punya syllabus. It makes sense. They know what to do. But, you know, I remember everybody's jumping, oh yeah, it's the fault of the other car. No, and then he's like, ha, korang semua salah. Sebenarnya tak ada siapa salah. To the jargon of everyone, every youngster there besides me, why nobody's at fault? Because he doesn't have a license, he or she doesn't know better. Dang.
Damn. But still, they're still liable. Like,
criminal. Yeah, true. Yeah, that's, yeah, because negligence, yeah, driving without license, that's negligence, yeah. It's like us driving in let's say, in, you know, ETS lah. You just drive everything and, oh yeah, dapat saman je. Just hit a car, oh, 500 euros.
500 euros fine.
500 euros fine. Technically the same thing, yeah. Technically it's the same thing.
Driving in the wrong lane because you come from Europe to UK. I'm like, shoot.
Oh, fuck.
I forgot.
The fun thing you can customize in ETS too is that, oh, do you want to buy a truck with left hand drive or right hand drive? Oh, the customization.
That looks cool. Oh yeah, like a bit tangent again. I've been scrolling to TikTok and now my algorithm, my bi-weekly algorithm update is, this Indonesian fella is live streaming his driving on ETS, hence why I'm talking about ETS. He's driving a truck with a modern map of Indonesia on the tightest road imaginable.
Oh, so is that like all those viral videos lah?
Yep.
Where the intercontinental bus is just like driving like mad, and the dangdut is playing, and but everybody is hanging on to their lives, but everything looks under control.
Yeah,
the dangdut makes it though.
That's my feeling.
True Indonesian experience.
The Indonesian experience. I mean, if you're going to Indonesia and there's no dangdut, what's the point of going to Indonesia? It's like a foreigner going to Malaysia and not having the nasi lemak. How dare, even though it's McDonald's nasi lemak, it's still nasi lemak, man.
Yeah.
Nasi lemak is
pretty good though.
Yeah. Mediocrity is fine.
Yeah.
As you can tell from this site, from this website, we have reviewed mediocre games that we love. Well, at least my theory test will be next week, so I will update you guys on my progress in the next episode. Haha. Hopefully it happens like the Persona 1 and there's like multiple choices and then, oh yeah, we got it. So that is, I guess that's all of the topics done.
Ooh. So we move to the news.
Yeah, we will shall move to the news, yes. And I think this is a big one because it is an interesting couple of weeks due to the fact that I guess games has died. Specifically, games as a service is dying.
Mm-hmm.
And oh no.
Okay, I think everyone already get the live service fatigue. That's why.
Definitely.
It's like way too many. And with live service, these games, these live service games, they are also lifestyle games, like Destiny. So you keep playing every day, and at some point you just like burn out, and I'm sick of it. I'm not gonna play any more live service game. Screw this.
The interesting bit is that you probably have seen that tweet by Gematsu where they compile all the announcements of, for whatever reason, there's 1 week where every game, all these games were announced to be terminating services. In other words, dying, unalive this service. Unserviced. So the games that are going to go dead are Apex Legends Mobile, which is a surprise.
That's actually quite popular. Yeah, that's a popular game in Asia. In here,
honestly, that was like one of the best mobile shooter game ever.
No, the best part, like people, my friends who are expert Legend players said, did they have more better gameplay there than in PC?
On PC, yes.
No, so
honestly, better than PC.
Yeah, so them dying already, that's actually like a red flag. Holy fuck, what happened?
Did Battlefield Mobile came out or did
it's in data in Philippines only.
Oh shoot. Oh, okay.
So that's also interesting. Like, it's already close to us and dies as well.
Oh, this is a fun one. Crime Site.
The anime Among Us by Konami.
Yes.
Also died. No. And even the worst part is they're killing it as well. But and the single play is also closing off, right?
Yes, and that is the same case for the next game, Crossfire X.
Oh my god, yeah.
I think we killed them. The trash firework was too strong.
Oh, F. The Koreans couldn't handle it. Okay. Shut it down, boys.
The interesting bit is there's an announcement for Game Pass games leaving the service. Right? Oh, this Crossfire X is one of the games that will gonna leave Game Pass on February 15. And then I take a look at it like a few days before this recording and say, wait, it's gone now? Oh, it's gone now. So people who download it, you have limited time. You have like literally a week from this point to play. And probably by the time you hear this, the game's
gone. It's gone, yeah. It's gone.
The campaign by Remedy is gone.
Wow, I don't understand why. The campaign, it's not that bad. It's kind of shitty because it is a single-player component. You can play offline. But, sorry. We're taking that out too.
Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai, A Hero's Bonds. I'm not sure.
It's a Japan only, like, it's kind of like those games that you see on the mobile, but it is, again, it is, you know, what's it called? It is a game as a service. Yes, it's a gacha game as well, but What we're gonna do?
Speaking of gacha games, how about this one? I haven't. Maybe you are familiar, Daniel. Love Live School Idol Festival. What the heck happened? Yeah. This one.
Okay, this one. Okay, this one is quite interesting.
It's an idol game, right?
Yeah, so it's an idol game. Yes, they already launched their newest, the 3D version called All Star, but that's not getting any traction for some reasons because, you know, goddamn, this game is it's quite demanding on the. On the bandwidth and apa nama mobile punya tu. So they are going to it's a Overwatch 2 thing basically. They're going
what
to
the
sunset,
heck?
Yeah, they're going to sunset the original Love Live School Idol Festival, and then you can download the new one, School Idol Festival 2.
Okay, but any other things you have? Carry over or something?
I think it is essentially like Overwatch 2.
Okay.
But yeah, it's quite interesting. Like, wow, oh no, our new 3D game isn't doing well. So, we got a Sunset Original.
Wow, they went to that length. Huh?
The problem that, I have is with is that most of the cast, the original Love Live cast of the Sky Festival is already have married, have children. So this is like, wow, you're going to bring them back? They're going to sound older than the first game.
New audio, oh no.
That's why, yeah.
Did you just change the CV or the idols the CV to intertwine with the characters?
Yeah, it's kind of like that as well. They intertwine as well. But some of them, like, I think like one of the few characters, they already retire from being a voice actress as well.
So the character also retires?
I don't know. Yeah? That's the question. Maybe not.
Okay, I do not know much to add more to this conversation, but interesting, okay.
Yeah, that's why, like, this is the most interesting question. Like, are they going to record new lines? The original girls, the original nine girls is going to sound very different than the one they sound like in season back in 2014.
They're gonna keep it alive. That's the effort they're gonna do. With the live service game.
Which is ironic with the live name. Love Live.
Love Live is dead. Yeah. Love Live, live service dead. But then, there's another game that is not being taken care of. Echo VR.
Yeah, this is interesting.
That one meta, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a meta game. Yeah, that's why. Like, what?
Apparently,
not a lot of people playing, I guess.
Yeah, it's the case of not a lot of people playing, but weirdly enough, Meta just says, nah, kill it. But the Echo VR, from what I've read, is one of the first hits for VR games, multiplayer VR games. You know the developer?
No.
Ready at Dawn.
Oh, no.
The folks that that did the Order 1886 have pivoted to VR entirely. I think they are under Meta.
And then the vampires, oh no.
Look, their gamble with VR, I think, is good. And they got acquired by one of the biggest VR players. Is okay. Oculus was good. But now it's under Meta. It's like question. Now, yeah.
Yeah, lah. When the supreme being AI rogue agent that is John Carmack leaves the company, yeah, you know it's bad.
Let you put that thing again, that reference. I wanted to keep making a beat and have all the names there in a list, but I keep on forgot. There's too many accolades.
Yeah. So, like when the cyborg AI that is John Carmack leaves, Meta's dying, but Quest is going to die.
Yeah, they lost their harbinger of the metaverse, John Carmack. So how now? But this is the last two games are a bit sad because they are technically indie scale. But understandably, it didn't take off despite interesting ideas. Knockout City and Rumbleverse. I lumped these two together because the two of these developers behind them, I think Valen Studios are. Is it Valen Studios? I need to double check Knockout City's developer. But I believe that one is indie scale because it was previously released under the EA Originals label. It was one of those EA indie games, but multiplayer. But then I think around last year, they went proper indie. The EA let go of them. Or is it the other way around? I'm not sure how, but they separate lah, basically. And then the game just didn't caught on. KO City is that dodgeball game.
KO City is killed. I'm sorry.
I mean, that is there. All the names are there. Like Love Live Dead. Knockout City KO. And then we have Rumbleverse. Interestingly, this game is published by Epic Games. It's a battle royale wrestling, sort of wrestling game. It's a melee focus. So you have wrestling moves and whatever, and it only survived 6 months before bye-bye. Gonna pull the plug. At least this one, they are refunding everything because it's just like 6 months operating. They were just only two seasons in before Epic might have called it, said, nah, no one's playing. Yep, pull the plug. It's a shame. But also, the problem with Rumbleverse, it looks so too similar to Fortnite. It has that cartoony aesthetic. But, So, with all these games dying, I think back to Anna's point in the early bit, kan, saying that this live service game is a lifestyle game. Which also leads to another thing. How many lifestyle can you have in your life?
Not a lot.
If you're playing Dota, I don't think people have any more time to commit to not Dota. Unless they dabble with Dota. But the hardcore people who play Dota will only play Dota.
Yeah, like the hardcore people of Dota will play Dota. The hardcore Destiny... Guardians will only play Destiny, yeah.
If you play Valorant, you play Valorant.
Yeah. Like, the games as a service gun is very not segmented to the point of, yeah, like, you, if you want this, you can have this, yeah.
Are you going to do the effort of completing all the same the battle passes for 3 games the same month? Will you? Are you gonna grind the weeklies for 3 different games? I tried. It sucks. I did for Fall Guys and Forza Horizon. I now dropped both games. I stopped logging in.
Yeah.
I played. I'm doing the same thing. I'm on the treadmill. What am I getting? Maybe some cars. Maybe some cosmetics. I mean, it was fun while it lasted, lah. But once I stopped that lifestyle, again, I feel like... liberated.
Man has the second win. Like in Borderlands.
Yeah, that's the big thing. The industry is there's not many room for that many live service games because not many gamers have that. We don't even have a life. And you expect us to have a lifestyle like this?
We don't have a life. We don't have
style.
Yeah,
we
don't have a lifestyle.
Yeah, okay. That's the reason why the big live service games such as Dota, COD, and Destiny are 90 gigs above. Like, you only need that game, boys. It's 90 gigs for a reason.
When you install Warzone, you don't need anything else.
Yeah, you don't need anything else. Oh my god, yeah. Sad. Saddish. Very saddish.
And the worst bit about being a live service is that, in terms of preservation, when the game's gone, it's gone.
Yeah,
because of the online checks, and now when the servers are gone, the online checks cannot be done. So now what? You're getting nothing.
You get nothing. You get a paperweight, like Overwatch 1. The Overwatch 1 CD.
And that's if you actually bought something. If you go full digital,
yeah, oh, that, yeah, you have nothing to show.
Other than the memories and maybe the recorded footage that you have or whatever. But other than that, that's the worst case. But that's the worst case when the interesting bit about live service game is that, oh, there's gonna be content all around, but we still as an industry haven't figured out how. So when the game is sunsetting, what are you gonna do other than just pull the plug on the service and maybe refunds people if the game is not too old? Like, what efforts do have we figured out, have we made to at least keep these games not just lost to the ether?
No, yeah. If it's like popular, kan, macam, let's say Need for Speed World, kan, they now recently they have opened up like their own private service, and you can still play Need for Speed World. But do the people want to play the likes of, I don't know, Crossfire X? Do they want to open a private server for Crossfire X? I don't think so.
Is there the let me double check. I think Knockout City has something along that lines when they announced the death. But you guys continue first, let me check.
Like, okay, in recent memory, like, kind of from 2013 to 2023. Okay, actually, that's actually quite far. Games of Service starts at 2016, I think. So, from the likes of 2016, we have, what's died? Battleborn? The Gearbox punya failed router shooter, not shooter, hero shooter?
Hobby grade shooter. Hobby grade.
Paragon
dead.
Evolve dead. Like, all of these games had a good idea. Lawbreakers.
Oh, that's a good one.
All of these games had good ideas. Tapi, it's a live service game.
It's the worst kind of game where the game's good, but it needs a player base to thrive. It's a multiplayer game where the multiplayer ideas work well, but not everything comes together. There isn't a viral hit, there isn't a viral tweet for the right reasons, not like Forspoken. There isn't like a community that is strong enough that keeps on playing online. And it's also, it can also be a death spiral. Like, think about it, if a multiplayer game doesn't have a, let's say, one at that one particular day, nobody's playing that game, or maybe you can count it in a handful. Somebody wants to try that game. Can I get into a match? No. Yeah. Not worth my time then.
Destiny. Destiny. Like, oh god, look at, oh, I want to try Destiny. Oh yeah, we sunsetted the tutorial, we sunsetted the story bits.
Yeah.
We couldn't even get the hook on them. It's lost. Like, the trick of these kinds of lifestyle games is like get them into the hooks and then they'll stay. But when those kinds of, When that kind of thing happens, it's almost irreversible.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, man.
you're gonna go down into this deathwood spiral, which is hard to like overcome unless like some weird thing like, ooh, a streamer did something like this, or people latch on by word of mouth. the fact that Among Us was supposed to be that they were gonna like stop development and get Among Us 2 working, and then suddenly, oh no, Among Us is a big thing now. Okay, let's cancel Among Us 2. Update this one. That's a rare case. That's not a normal thing to happen. It only applies to the winner of the jackpot.
Yeah, you have to get like it's basically like, if you get the lining in the bottle, can simpan, like quickly put it in a safe somewhere.
You think Fortnite was built to success? No.
They were actually trying to make a Minecraft clone, a survival game.
Yeah, and I thought the Save the World bit is actually the fun part, but nobody cares about them. They want Battle Royale. And that's how the wind blows. They follow the money. To the chagrin of PUBG.
The changing PUBG, yeah. And then sometimes kind of like it's now, it is the public conscious for like what the last almost a half a decade now, since 2019.
But don't worry lah, PUBG still has an audience on mobile, so
yeah.
Still it is players propping yeah, up PUBG.
It is, yeah.
I thought it was already banned. I forgot.
No.
Or is it Free Fire?
It's Free Fire.
Free Fire is PUBG Ultimate.
PUBG is Korean. Ah.
Yeah, I mean, in India, Indian players.
Free Fire is available in India.
Okay. Free Fire, yeah. I think it's because Free Fire, they put it in Garena, so technically that's Malaysia. The loopholes, baby.
So they didn't get they didn't garner controversy, so safe.
Yeah.
Keep it low. Keep it low. Like Free Fire's marketing is all about cool lifestyle things rather than like, yo, kill people. We win. Oh, they promote, hey, look at Beyond style or whatever. But yeah, there's just not many room for live service games for you. Not everyone could make a live service game be alive for the long time.
And if even if they can, there's even a chance that if it's all enough, it will feel like this is one game recently. That's Division 2. Its next season has been delayed because the devs broke the game.
Broke the update system.
Yeah, they broke the update system, so the game is not in limbo. No new content, no nothing, it's just there.
They push an update that cannot push another update, so now they...
I thought they were like, they broke the build system, as in, let's say update the game before pushing it out, but the build system just broke.
It's bonk. Yeah, that one, yeah, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
I'm surprised the Division 2 is still alive.
Oh yeah, guess what happened back in 2020?
Yeah, I wonder what happened in 2020.
Everybody was morbidly curious about Division after that, huh?
I wonder why a game that has a very interesting a plague happening and then the collapse of society. Well, not as egregious and much divisions, but still.
I mean, what are the people who play Division gonna do? Wait for the day before? Nah.
That looks, yeah, a bit tangent. Yeah, that looks really, really, really fake. Holy
shady,
man.
Let's not go into that one yet. Because I think the rabbit hole of live service game dying is like the biggest irony is that live service games will eventually die.
Yes. Yeah. It will die because it lives. You put a life tag on there.
Look at other video games. They are neither live or dead, so they can be available forever as long as you have a copy.
Well, it's why one of the reasons why I've started to collect old games again. Like, oh no. Oh.
Even shitty games.
Yeah, even shitty games. Like, I have a copy of 8086 now. Because it was on sale for $20. I wonder why nobody wants it.
For me, collecting and hoarding stuff is cannot be done with my lifestyle, as in I just don't have any more room. So I can't do that. But the way I prepare for this inevitable thing is just I already put the mindset of, you know what? Everything I have is on the cloud. It's on the servers, and so if it's gone, it's gone lah. I understand that. I've come to terms with the actual terms of service, so to speak. Yeah, I come to terms with the terms of service.
If it dies, it dies.
They mentioned it on the legal, so sure. Yeah. Okay, I know what I'm doing. If it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, it's done.
I'm going to be sad about it, but I've made that choice. It is my decision. I'm not going to be angry. So the idea, so it is like for people like me, I still hope that the publishers and developers still continue to support all the stuff for preservation, like backwards compatibility, emulation, stuff like that needs to be preserved. It's not... Games supposed to be a media should not be lost
Yeah, essentially video games is a way to be in a sense immortal. Can let's say in 2035 or 2077 again, someone's about to play boot up Doom 2 for the first time, and then they get to the final boss. Oh, it's John Romero, the creator of the game. God, isn't that, was it, that's not one way to immortalize yourself.
Yeah, John Romero will in like 30 or 40 years time will be eternalized, immortalized like the Mona Lisa. Put it side by side in the Louvre. Mona Lisa there, and then they say it's John Romero's head.
Yeah, that's a candy though.
I mean, when we don't know where society will evolve in the years to come. Maybe that time Joe Romero will be regarded as the harbinger of freedom and peace and not John Carmack. We don't know. But what we know right now is to make sure people, the next generation, knows what we have done. Like, there will be one time where people figure out, huh, how do they have fun back then? Oh, why do they play with inverted controls back then, huh? There's another thing. Nobody knows why. Ooh. Those kind of stuff, like the historical bits of gaming, I still like, we can do better, right? Yeah. When's the exact point where everyone decided to not invert their controls? I still have problems with that, to coming to terms with that one. Yeah, live service.
Live service.
I mean, it's not just live service. It also extends to like a lot of mobile games. Like when they get removed from the Play Store, right?
Yep, Play Store, like, Apple Store, like, PlayStation, Microsoft, everything lah.
Yeah, Dead Space Mobile. Like, it's not available.
Oh yeah, Extraction is a good game. Yeah.
You know what? I think I still have that game installed in my old Xperia Play somewhere. I think that game was free with the phone, or maybe I downloaded and pay money for that. I cannot remember, but maybe I still have it.
Yeah.
Somewhere, the APK.
Mm-hmm. It's unavailable because the EA, they don't want to update it to Google standard, basically. So it just got delisted.
Just sad. Dang. Yeah.
It's a good game. Also Flappy Bird.
iconic tweet, and the iconic day, just like,
man, there will be a generation where people don't understand about Flappy Bird because it's gone now. Understandable why the creator made that decision, but still, at least someone there is somewhere we need to have it playable, captured as a time capsule or something.
Well, anyway, that's depressing.
Yeah, that's the depressing way to end the podcast, but oh well.
but on that note, yeah, if I die one time and one day again, I mean, we all die, but one time, yeah. When I die,
it's when.
When I die, please do not immortalize me as an AI.
No, fuck that. Same.
I mean, I know there are like plenty of like we have like evidence again on the podcast. Yeah, don't use that to train an AI to make me say weird things. No. If you want to make me say weird things, splice my audio. Do it the hard way, the real way.
Do it like our forefathers did back in the 80s and 90s.
Make a YouTube poop.
Yeah, make a YouTube out of it.
Yeah, at least if you make me say weird things, make it put effort to it. Don't let AI do all the heavy lifting. Nah, don't do that. Yeah, anyway. I guess that's the podcast.
Yeah, that's the podcast.
It's a lean one, but understandably so, because maybe next episode will be a hard-hitting one.
Yep, heavyweight episode.
Yep. What's on the thumbnail?
Left-hand drive. Left-hand drive car.
The cockpit view from a left-hand drive lorry.
Yeah.
Or truck.
Yeah.
A truck, yes, a lorry.
Yeah, but what does the cockpit view, what can we see?
One of the first spoken many, many copy-pasted towers.
You know what? I'm gonna copy-paste a lot of them just for fun. The tombstones are gonna be too many. I'm gonna do all the Dead Life games.
Yeah.
Hey, just put the tombstone with the game name.
Life's just guess. Not even the full name, just guess.
Next turn, Life Service Graveyard.
Next turn, Life. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
In 200 miles, Life Service Graveyard.
That should be a website, lifeservicegraveyard.com. Chronicles. Now that we mentioned it, someone has already bought it. So yeah, that's a good thumbnail. So where can people find us, Daniel?
All right. I have been Daniel. You can find me if it's still alive if it's still alive by next week on Twitter.
It's shaking right now.
It's almost dying, it's now on the intubator again. This is like breathing heavily right now. You can follow me on Twitter at FL4KY. I have a few reviews coming in soon before the start of March. One of which is the very, very good Fire Emblem Engage. Guess what the Engage mean? I won't tell you. I'll tell you the next episode.
put a ring to that.
Yeah, put a ring to that.
Make sure it's overage.
Okay.
You can find me on Twitter, drop near DR4EPN1R, DR4EPN1R. Nothing in the pipeline for now, so yeah. Mac?
And I have been Amirul Mekronos Ashraf, MECKRONOS. Find me there, say hello to Mac there on Twitter if it's still alive. I believe I have been reviewing something. Of course, the review of Forspoken is out. You will find out something. There's a review coming next week, so next episode we're gonna talk about that game. Other than that, it will be back to regular scheduling of other games that I'm gonna check out when that review is up, I guess. Because that game has been consuming me in more ways than one. But yeah, for now, so yeah, a little bit light on content as well. That should be way too many hints by now what kind of game that is. So anyway, that's Dia.log, the Gaming Matters podcast. And
chicken. Oh wait, I'm hungry now. Okay, never mind. What are we cooking?
Let him cook.